Revelation chapter 1, I'm taking the title for the message from the words found in verse 2. Verse 2 says, who bear record, the true record, that is John, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So I'm taking the title from those words, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's mentioned two or three times in the Revelation, this statement, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 9 of chapter 1. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to turn with me, you can, over in chapter 12, the Revelation, chapter 12, verse 17, it's mentioned again, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the same as the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's mentioned over here in chapter 19, if you want to follow with me. Chapter 19, verse 10. And John said, I fell at his feet to worship him, that is, this messenger, the angel. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I'm thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is that prophet that came declaring that salvation is in Christ and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a question. What is the book of Revelation all about? What is the book of Revelation all about? A lot of people have a lot of wild, crazy ideas about what the Revelation, this book, is all about. Well, I'm going to tell you today what it's all about. It's all about the Lamb. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. 27 times in this Revelation, we have the book of Revelation, 27 times it mentions the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrificial character as the Lamb of God. Hold your place there and turn over to chapter 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, verse 5, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns, that is all power, seven eyes, all knowing, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the world. Another word that's mentioned quite often in the Revelation, not only the Lamb of God, but talks about the throne of God. Now, I counted 31 times in the Revelation it talks about the throne. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of God in glory. They're interceding for us as our advocate, as our mediator. So what is the book of Revelation all about? Notice it's a revelation, verse 1, of Jesus Christ. Now that ought to clear everything up. It's the revelation or the revealing or the declaring of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. So we can safely say it's all about him. The entire Bible, from the beginning in Genesis, the Revelation, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, and he's the end of all Scripture. All Scripture is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who does the revealing, and he is the one who is revealed. It takes God to reveal God to our heart. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them unto his children. The Apostle Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 1, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace
to reveal His Son in me. Salvation is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to your heart. It's an invasion of God in your heart. As in creation and providence and salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ must have all the preeminence. So throughout the written Word of God, the Holy Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ must have all glory, dominion, power, and preeminence forever and ever. Now hold your place there, and let's look back to the book of Colossians. Can you find that? The book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. It says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, Colossians 1:14, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. By Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. We read that. Who is the beginning? The end. Alpha, the Omega, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, here's the word, in all things He might have the preeminence. Well, that's a pretty big word. For in Him, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. What does that word preeminence mean? He must have all the honor and glory. He must have the first place in all things. Now, He must have the preeminence because He is the Lord of glory. This is especially true in all the Word of God, but especially true in this last book in the Bible called the Revelation of Jesus Christ to His servant John, unto His church that's bought with His blood. We're no more with our own keeper. We're bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, I love this verse, 5 and verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, Revelation. Jesus Christ, He is the faithful witness. He's the first begotten from the dead, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Unto the prince of the kings of the earth, He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. It's all His doing. It's all His purpose in saving sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ is all, the Word of God is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as He's pictured in the Word, He's not pictured as a weak, pitiful God and Savior who wants to and can't, but the Almighty Sovereign over heaven and earth. Did you notice verse 8? In chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said, I'm Alpha, the Omega, I'm the beginning, the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is to come. Now, look at this word. The Almighty. Now, was there anyone mightier than the Almighty? How many times in the Revelation do we read, He said, I am God, beside me there is no other. He is the only Almighty Savior, Almighty God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pictured in this revelation as conquering all enemies. I think one of the key verses is found in chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, Revelation, verse 2. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. He conquered all of his enemies, all of our enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute victor over all things. Paul writes in Romans 8, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because He wins every battle as our substitute, as our representative, as our surety, as our mediator. In Christ Jesus, we are, as believers, winners. Don't you want to be on the winning team? Everybody wants to be on the winning team. In the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the captain of our salvation who has never lost one battle. He's the conqueror. We're winners in Him, unto Him who loved us. He's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. talking about the Lord's victory, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled, defeated principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in himself. Never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. Satan defeated. Sin put away. Death, he said in this same chapter, Revelation 1 verse 18, I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, he said, I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. The singular subject, theme, and message of the entire Bible, Old Testament and New, is the person and work and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As in creation and in providence, so in redemption, so in all the Holy Scripture, it's the purpose of God that the Lord Jesus Christ, he must have all the honor and glory. Remember the words from chapter 5, Revelation over here, chapter 5, look at verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Now who's worthy of all honor and glory? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, honor, glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. There's those two words. Lamb on the throne, victorious over all things. The book of God is a book all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is the book about Christ. It's all about him. All the promises and blessings of God given to sinful men and women are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, God promises nothing but wrath. Every supposed blessing will prove only to be a curse. Apart from Christ, all the love, mercy, and grace of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you don't miss that. All the revelation and knowledge of the triune God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is not only the central message of Holy Scripture, he is the message. To understand this is to have the key that opens the Word of God and reveals its treasure unto us. That which is true of the whole volume of inspiration of Scripture is especially true in this last book we call the Revelation. What is the book of Revelation all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, and his work. 27 times in this book we see the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrificial character. Salvation is to be received by faith, the faith of God's elect, that looks to the true Christ of God. The faith of God's elect looks unto the Christ of God that is revealed in Holy Scripture. Any other Christ is a false Christ that has nothing for a guilty sinner and that cannot save us from our sins. Be sure you're trusting the Christ of the Bible, not the Christ of a certain denomination that said that he wants to and can't, that he's tried and failed. To trust a false Christ is to have a false salvation. To trust a false Christ is to have a refuge of lies that God said, I'll sweep away. Make sure you're trusting the Christ of God that's revealed in the book of God. That's so important. Trust the Christ of God that cannot fail. Both John and Paul warn us about false prophets that preach another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus. Paul said, you better stick with me. Matter of fact, he says in Galatians chapter 1, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached. Remember what he said? Let him be damned. Let him be accursed. So it's a serious thing. Make sure you're trusting the Christ that's revealed in the book of God, in the book of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is enthroned in our heart must be the Christ of God, or we have nothing but an idol. Now, would you trust an idol? trust the true and living God. He said, look unto me. He said, I am God. Isaiah 45. I am God. Beside me there is no other. Then what does he say next? Look to me. Look unto me. And be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. I am God. And there is no other. Now, let's look at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that's the key right there. The key is right here in the beginning. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him. It's a God-given revelation unto the servant of John to show unto his servant things which must come. Now, must shortly come to pass. Shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, his messenger, unto his servant, John the Apostle. John the Apostle. God gave this revelation of the exalted, glorious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given this unto his servants. His servants. You see that in verse 1? His servants. And all these things, he says, must shortly come to pass. Now, if God has said it, and spoken it, and decreed it, and declared it, will it come to pass? He said, I've spoken it. I'll do it. I purpose it. I will bring it to pass. We can mark it down. Things which must shortly come to pass. Remember, our Lord told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and must be betrayed, must be crucified, must die, and must be risen again. And Peter said, wait a minute. We don't think you ought to go to Jerusalem and die. The Lord said, get out of my way. I must do these things. Without his sacrifice for our sin, we have no salvation. John was guided through this glorious revelation, this glorious vision by a heavenly messenger sent to him, signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now the angel here is not named, but maybe it's the same angel that came to Joseph and said that, call that baby that's in Mary's womb, call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. All the angels of God have one message. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. And the writer of the book of Hebrews calls the angels of God ministering spirit sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Do you realize the Lord said when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached that the angels of God desire to look into these things? The angels of God are hovering about God's people when they worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. He's made us heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the Lord will bless this study and lead and guide me and us together through this revelation of Jesus Christ. And I think it'll take at least 2 years, maybe longer, and I'm not going to get in a hurry. This is the third time we've studied through this book, and I jot this note down to myself, because we looked at this revelation 10 years ago, and if we go on this schedule, I'm kind of seem like every 10 years I come back around to a book again, and in another 10 years, I'll be 80 years old. In another 10 years, probably most of us won't be here. I probably won't be here. So in another 10 years, we'll be, maybe some of us, Lord willing, will be with the Lord. And seeing Him face to face. No longer seeing Him revealed in the Word, but beholding Him face to face. Says that over here in the Revelation. That we'll see His face. We'll look at that. Chapter 19, I believe it is. Or thereabouts. Now look at verse 2. Who bear record. Bear record. John bearing a true record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He bears record of the Word of God. Now whenever we see that statement, Word of God, we often think of the written Word, don't we? The written Word of God. And we know that all Scripture is given of God. the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. But whenever we see the Word of God, we also should think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called what? He's the Word of God. He's the express image of the living God, the Word of God. A word is a vehicle of communication, isn't it? I'm speaking words. The Lord Jesus Christ is the communication of God as the prophet of God unto His people. He speaks the word of truth, who bear record of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I love that statement, the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes in religious circles, I'm glad we don't do this here, and I don't know any of the grace churches that do this or practice this, but oftentimes in religious circles in different places, they have what they call a testimony meeting. And people stand up and they give their testimony. Well, what is our testimony? Jesus Christ. He's everything in salvation. It says that in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 11. Christ is all and in all. In Him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and in Him we stand complete. John was faithful to declare unto us all that he saw and all that he heard. Things that he saw, and we know he speaks about that down here in verse 10, what he heard. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard this great voice as the voice of thundering waters, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. John was cast out on this island for the testimony, this island called Patmos, for the Word of God, for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this island, and you can look this up, I Googled this on Google Map, and I looked up this island called Patmos. It's still called that today. It's an island off the Greek coast, about 40 miles from Ephesus. And this island was a place where they put notorious, vicious criminals. It was the Alcatraz of that day. Now, it's said in traditional history that the reason John was put there, we know for the gospel. But it said that they tried to put John in a pot of boiling oil to kill him. And they did. And he received no harm. And so they couldn't figure out how to kill him. So they put him out on this island. And there he had this special revelation of the Lord. He said, I'm your companion in tribulation. Now, the Lord put him out there to receive this special, special revelation of Christ. Now, you can go there today. You can go to, you can look on these different Airbnb in different places, and you can go to this Greek island there in the Aegean Sea, and there is today yet there on this island of Patmos a monastery there called St. John Monastery. There's also there, they say, now I don't know, these things get blown out of proportion, but they say there is a cave there that you can visit where John lived when he was on this island. Now, I don't know about all that, but I do know this. He was put out there by God's purpose, God's grace, to receive this revelation that he might write it down and give it to us. Now, what a blessing. What a blessing. John bear witness to the things that he heard and saw. Now, have you ever tried to tell something you don't know? You can't do it, can you? John said that he saw, and he writes down what he heard and what he saw. That's why I read over here in 1 John chapter, don't turn, let me just read it to you. That which we've seen and heard, we declare it unto you. That's what John is doing. What he heard, what he saw, he said, I'm going to declare that unto you, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the essence of true preaching. It's telling what you know. Paul the Apostle, John the Apostle, these men were taught of God, and they preached the things they were taught. Now, preaching in our day, and for us, is simply repeating what God has already said. That's what it is. It's declaring the things we know from the Word of God. That's what preaching is. It's declaring the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the same as a gospel of Christ, telling what you know from the Word of God that Paul calls the gospel of God. Let's see if we can find that. Over in the book of Romans chapter 1. Turn over there. Romans chapter 1. Verse 1. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, Romans 1, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So we declare unto you the gospel of God, the testimony of God, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn back to Revelation, chapter 1, look at verse 3. I love how verse 3 starts. Blessed. 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 Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You're being blessed by God right now by reading the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God. And blessed is that man who reads the Word, who hears the Word of this prophecy. And the Word of this prophecy is Christ. And we keep those things which are written therein. For what he says there, boy, it's time. It's time that we read the Word of God, that we hear the Word of God, that we receive it as such as it is the Word of God, that effectually worketh in you that believe. For, let's think of it this way. For our time is at hand, or we could put it this way. Our times are in his hand. We're in his hand. Our time, whatever time we have here, we're all creatures of time. But our time, as the psalmist said in Psalm 31, our times are in his hand. The time is at hand. The time is at hand. The Lord promises a blessing to those who read, hear, and study and believe the Word of God. A blessing. A blessing. They're also given a warning. Turn to Revelation 22, the last chapter. There's also given a warning about those who will not take the Word of God, believe the Word of God. Revelation 22, look at verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this book, if he shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So we don't want to add to the Word of God. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, from the things which are written therein, he which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to add to the Word of God. We don't want to take away from the Word of God. We want to declare what's in the Word of God. You remember Paul in prison, his last word of instruction to young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, was what? Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. It's very important in our worship service of the Lord to read His Word. That's why we take the Word of God. We go book by book, verse by verse, word by word. That's why we make much of the Word of God, much of the preaching of the Word of God. The Lord will bless the Word to the hearts of His people. It will be a savor of life unto life. He will send out His Word, and He will prosper His Word wherever He is pleased to send it. We know from reading the Word of God that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. James put it this way, of his own will begat he us with the, what? Word of truth. So blessed is he that readeth
and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and we're talking about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep those things which are written therein. How do you keep those things? Well, you don't let them run out as a leaking vessel. Have you ever tried to pour water in a bucket that had a hole? You just pour the water in and it runs right out. Don't let the Word of God be poured into you and then let it leak out. Hold it, retain it, keep it, believe it, receive it, meditate upon it. It'll bless you. It'll bless you abundantly. Abundantly. This is one of the verse 3 there where it said, blessed is he that readeth. This is one of the 7 places in the Word of God that it uses this word, blessed. Let's look at some of them, and I'll let you go home with this. Look at Revelation 14, verse 13. We read this quite often about those who are blessed. Blessed is the man that readeth and heareth the word. Look at Revelation 14, 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor and their works do follow them. Another place, find chapter 16, verse 15. And I've got written down here, Revelation 16. Well, I've got a bad reference there. You'll have to excuse my oversight there. Let's find chapter 19, verse 9. Revelation 19, verse 9. He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Revelation 16, verse 15. Turn there. I had 15, 16. That's just like me. Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come at the feet. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they shall see his shame. So God's people are blessed. They're blessed. Look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 6. This is interesting. Revelation 20, verse 6. I brought a message from the book of Psalms one time about the blessed man. Who is the blessed man? But the Revelation has a lot to say about those who are blessed. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What is that? That's the new birth. That's the new birth, being born again. On such a second death hath no power, that they shall be, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him forever and ever, 1,000 years, which is forever and ever. Revelation 22, verse 7. Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Would you be a blessed man? Hear and receive the word of truth, the word of God. Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and they enter in through the gate into the city. That do his commandments. What is that? Believing the gospel. Believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, the time is at hand. All things are appointed by God for us personally and will come to pass in due time. Our birth, the time of our death, are all appointments by God, right? The time is at hand. Our time is in his hands. All our disappointments in this life, I thought about this a lot. And this thought came to me the other day, and I can't remember who I heard say this at first. All our disappointments in this life are his appointments for us. Our time is in his hand. The scriptures bear that out.
all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. All our disappointments. Have you ever had any disappointments? We all have disappointments, don't we? They're all His appointments for us. They're for our good and for His glory. Okay, we'll end with that. Next time we'll look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and is to come, the Almighty God.